Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh and I'm happy to be recording on a Sunday afternoon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great. It's sunny outside here in Brooklyn. And before we get started, I want to send a quick thank you out to Kevin Zatlukal on Twitter and his daughter, who gave me probably the team name that has given me the best luck so far this season, Fuchs Roda. I didn't know what this meant at first, but apparently it's a Skyrim reference. But I wanted to send my thank you to Kevin's daughter for the fantastic team name. What's even better, Josh, is we have another special guest this week. We are joined by the FPL general, Mark McGettigan, joining us all the way from Glasgow, Scotland. Mark, welcome to Always Cheating.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on. Big fan of the podcast, so it's nice to join you guys for some FPL chat.
We're happy to have you on. I feel like we've been talking back and forth for at least a year. Maybe closer to 2 years now. We've probably been talking about having you on for about 2 years as well, which is that's usually the turnaround time is we start talking about having someone that we're friendly with on the podcast, and then about 24 to 48 months later, we finally get around to
Talking with Mark back when he was FPL second lieutenant, and here we are years later with FPL general. It's amazing. So, Mark, before we get started, why don't you just give us a quick rundown of how your season is going? And, I mean, do you agree with us? This has been one of the craziest FPL seasons in modern memory.
Yeah, this season has been a little bit bonkers for a lot of reasons, but I've managed to navigate it pretty well so far. Things are going very well for me. I'm looking at possibly heading towards the top 500 tonight when things update, so looking at possibly a third top 500 finish in the last 4 years, so that'll be pretty sweet.
That's amazing.
I can probably retire if I can just get that top 500 this year.
What is your secret, Mark? I mean, that sort of consistency is so elusive for a lot of hardcore managers. I mean, we're going to spend a whole episode devoted to strategy, as we do every week, but is there one thing that sticks out in your mind as something that managers don't get right season by season? Or something that you focus on in particular that you think really differentiates you?
I think what's worked for me over the last couple of seasons is minimizing transfers, so avoiding point sets as much as possible. I know in my two seasons where I finished in the top 500, I only made around 38 transfers overall, and I think I'm on 35 this season as well. So I only took my third point set for game week 35 of the season. So avoiding transfers has worked for me. So whenever I'm making transfers, I always try to, I don't like bringing in a player who I think I might get rid of shortly afterwards. It's all about minimizing transfers for me. And I think patience is number one. If you can get patience right, it goes a long way.
So do you worry about price? I mean, are you really price rise focused? Is that something you think about at the beginning of the season? Like Brandon, I know, is very price conscious and trying to, make transfers before price rises come, things like that.
That's certainly something that's evolved for me over the seasons where, many seasons ago I'd find myself getting burned, or I felt I got burned at the end of the season by having a lower team value. So that's something I've been trying to correct. Now, I think you can overcorrect for playing the team value game, but I don't know. What do you think, Mark?
Team value is something I never really worry too much about. I mean, I do look at the price change websites, probably more so earlier in the season, but I'm always willing to take a price drop, say on a Tuesday or Wednesday, just to wait until Friday. I much rather lose a bit of team value to know that, to get all the information that I can before making my transfers. So yeah, again, I probably do look at it more so earlier in the season, but I never really let it force me into a move, unless it was a case where I have exactly enough cash, and if I don't make the move maybe on a Tuesday or Wednesday, I might not be able to do it then. But I'll weigh it up to make sure that the risks are low with that the players are more than likely going to play. So yeah, I don't worry too much about team value.
Just for context, looks like your team value right now is 104.2 million. So just for everybody listening out there, I feel like that's a pretty slightly above average value for hardcore managers. I mean, if you're sitting 727 right now before the game is updated, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, another thing is I know a lot of people, when they try to beat the price rises. They're thinking long term that maybe down the line, you know, I might be a couple of bob short for a transfer. But the way I look at it is, I just, whatever cash I have, I just work with it. I'm confident in making, you know, good decisions. Whether, you know, if I have to go for a lesser player, say for someone like Sané or something, if I was priced out of him, I'm happy just to go with a player then with whatever cash I have. You know, I just don't worry too much about it.
Yeah, I tend to play the same way. I feel pretty similar. I think, especially waiting until the end of the week, most importantly. I mean, I think it actually kind of leads us really nicely into game week 35, which is a lot of managers were on free hit chips. It wasn't as comprehensive as you might think if you're on Twitter a lot, as the three of us are. You know, I think overall it was a very small percentage of managers actually were on free hit chips. But if you weren't and you brought in Aubameyang early this week, you're really screwed, because on a press conference, I think it was on Thursday, Wenger announced that he was playing in something of a trial team for the Europa League match. I think some of us could argue with why he decided to do that and not do that against Newcastle, because now Mohamed Elneny is injured, and I think that was the collective annoyance of everyone who has Aubameyang. Somehow, like, well, they just hadn't been karma on that team.
Yeah, and plus they hadn't been playing great football in the league up to this point. So I do feel for Wenger. Like, I feel like he had to play a stronger side just to get some momentum going.
Yeah, that wasn't really a question. Sorry.
I think that's a good example of where patience pays off, because I recorded my own podcast last Monday, and I said on the podcast I'm going to get Aubameyang, and then obviously the news came later in the week that it was more likely that Lacazette was going to play. So I got Lacazette instead, and he got me 13 points. So just shows you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your podcast, which is great, the 59th Minute Pod. And I guess we should say find Mark at on Twitter at FPL General. But we had the same thing with Always Cheating, where we like to give people a lot of information at the very start of the week and kind of leave it up to the listener to read all the clues from the news and the press conference throughout the week to then adjust on the fly.
Yeah, that was the Lacazette thing was really frustrating for me as someone who I thought that I had been doing pretty good long-term planning by having Aubameyang in my squad, and for him not to play, you know, I know he got an assist, you know, 4 points late on, but for him to get four, and then for everyone who free hit shipped, effectively everyone who free hit shipped to get 13 points from Lacazette was kind of annoying. But oh well. So actually, there was a question about the pre hit chip, and I don't even know if it's really a question or more like a rant about it. So I guess we're starting the rants of the week early. But Daniel B says, the perils of the free hit chip. He says, I played mine this week, and it just today had massive repercussions on my squad. Because I'm locked in, I got shafted in the price changes while I'm all in. Mahrez, Son, and Lukaku all dropped, which scuppers my plans of getting rid of all them to bring in Kane before game week 37. I haven't seen anyone talk about this downside to the free hit chip yet. So, Brandon, as the only one of the three of us on the free hit chip this week, Did it affect you at all? Like, did it hurt your team value a little bit?
Yeah, it's definitely hitting my team value with guys like Lukaku dropping, Marcus Alonso, and then Jesus, who I don't have, but I brought into my free hit. He's going up in value, somebody who looks like a great bet for the run-in. It has, but I said this phrase last week, in that the die is cast. I do feel that at this point in the season, your team value is what it is, and I feel like the margins are going to be finer or not finer or less fine. So I'm not sweating it too much. I feel like the overall gain that I had from being able to play the free hit this week, and I'm very fortunate to get 5 goals today between Lacazette, Sterling, De Bruyne, and Jesus. And these are all players that I wouldn't have had. Maybe I would actually have Sterling if I wasn't on the free hit. But that's a big boost to me. So I'm seeing the upside for free hit right now. I'm feeling good about it. Looks like I'm going to finish on 66 points for the week.
Well, you still have Coleman to play, right, tomorrow?
Yeah, that's right. So with Coleman to play, I ended up So I was talking about going heavier on Liverpool defense last week, and I kind of scaled that back, opted to go Jack Butland in goal. And that was a huge save for him in extra time to end up getting an extra point for six saves, then put him into the bonus. So 5 points on Butland versus one, which I would have gotten for Karius. Did Karius finish on one or two?
I'm not sure. One or he didn't have that many saves.
He looked pretty shaky against West Brom. I mean, unless you had Hennessy, I don't really see how it could have worked out much better than Jack Butland. But Van Dijk, for his goal threat, I went with, and he ends up with 1 point, of course. Hector Bellerin looked quite bad in the Arsenal lineup today. So hopefully Coleman can come through as my one defender with attacking points. Just to round out my free hit squad, I doubled down on Crystal Palace in the midfield. Milivojevic, that was actually secretly just to cover your team, Josh, as we're locked in Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. Wilfred Zaha, one of the more disappointing performances in recent months. We definitely saw penalty dive merchant Zaha. He got the yellow card for the wrong dive, I think. That was probably a penalty in which he received a yellow card, and then he dived probably the play earlier. But that was really the one weak point in my free hit squad was Zaha. Then Lacazette and Jesus up front, and Salah captained, De Bruyne and Sterling filling out the midfield.
I'm on 51 points right now. I still have Baines and Walcott to play tomorrow. I can't believe I still have Walcott in my team, but there you go. I free hit chip in 34, which is one reason why Walcott is still in that squad. So 51.
Do you have any hope for Walcott? I mean, they're at home.
How could I? I mean, based on what he's done the last the last 10 weeks or thereabouts. Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, I will be certainly watching tomorrow's match. But, you know, Walcott hasn't had a double figure return since game week 25. So it seems unlikely that I'm going to get anything out of him. I'm feeling a little done with this season right now. So 51 points, could be worse. Two more to play tomorrow. I got 0 points from Fernandez today, one from Mustafi. Aubameyang comes on and gets four. Really, it's 51 seems fine in the context. I'm certainly going to be in a green arrow, I would expect. But given how well a lot of the free hit chip managers did, I'm feeling like I have a kind of a mediocre score this game week. But we'll see. Maybe tomorrow I'll get, you know, two penalty goals from Baines, both one on Theo Walcott, penalties in the box. And you guys will all be looking at my team with envy, you know, so it's anything's possible, right?
Perhaps for the rest of the season, maybe you're feeling better about how Arsenal looked pre-Aubameyang coming onto the field, like how regrettable Arsenal looked without Aubameyang in that lineup. So
I might drop Aubameyang.
Really?
We'll get into this in a minute, but I mean, Aubameyang for Kane in game week 36 is a move that I'm definitely considering.
Yeah.
So 51, it seems okay, but I mean, you know, compared to our co-host this week, it feels a little low. So Mark, how is your week doing?
Things are going really well for me this week. So I came into the game week 35 without a free hit chip because I played it in game week 22. So initially I was probably a little bit worried about this week going up against all those who had their free chip in play. But I've managed to come through it pretty well. I'm looking at 72 points, which is going to send me probably into the top 500 tonight, as I said. So the likes of Hennessy was a big one for me, 10 points. Tarkowski got me an assist as well. Arnautovic, Sterling, Jesus. I took my first -8 of the season this week, and the four players I brought in were Sterling, Jesus, Lacazette, and Lascelles, who's playing tomorrow. So I'm hoping 4 out of 4 can give me returns. So the three guys today have done the business. So yeah, it's been a really, really good game week for me. Just coming at the right time of the season as well.
The Lacazette move that's a bold move because. Do you feel like you've got – is Lacazette a one-week move for you? Do you think you might move to Kane in game week 36, or is he going to stay in your squad for a while?
Yeah, it's hokey-cokey for me. So when I was making those four transfers on Friday night, I left cash in the bank. So what I'm going to do is Lacazette to Kane, just a straight swap this week for game week 36. And then Harry Kane's going to be my more than likely going to be my triple captain in 37 then.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's I'm thinking the same way right now. I may actually burn. I could do Lacazette to Kane without burning points, but I think Salah may go too because I'll wait, of course, until the Anfield Express. You know,
3 weeks in a row they've been spot on, yeah, so that's intense.
God bless those guys.
But I think Sané is now an interesting option now. I think now that he got a full rest, although you could argue that Bernardo Silva played well enough that Sané may have to fight to get back into that squad. What do you guys think about that? I was a little surprised that Sané didn't play at all today.
Yeah, I don't know that Sané would have to fight, but I think everyone gets a share in the spoils. Sané certainly had a great season. You know, just a few minor lulls in form, but he's been great. So I see no reason why Bernardo Silva would block him out of the lineup.
Yeah,
what do you think, Mark?
There's just so many options for Pep now that the season's that the league's won. He can play the young guys. We even seen Yaya Toure make an appearance today. So I think Sané, because he got a full rest now, I think he does remain a good option. But it's the same with all the City players. I think you just got to go for whichever one you prefer, and just be prepared for the rotation because it will happen. It can happen to any of them. So you just got to embrace it.
I do wonder the way the substitutions went today for Man City. I do wonder if this was Pep's sort of celebratory substitution process. Kevin De Bruyne comes off relatively early in the 65th minute, and then you bring in the young and the old with Yaya Toure and Foden and Mendy. By the way, I was in tears at the end of this game when all the fans stormed the pitch and they were all crowding around Benjamin Mendy, and he had this look of pure joy, and not that he doesn't always have that look on his face, but that was pretty rousing for me.
You and I have been to so many funerals together, and I've never seen you in tears. And now one Mendy injury, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, beyond just being a sports fan, I really don't have much skin in the Manchester City game, so I don't know why I was actually shedding tears.
Maybe it was just dusty in the room.
It could be. Just,
yeah, you need to dust more.
I'm allergic to my cat, but I don't. I feel like going forward, we'll probably see more standard operating procedure with Pep's substitutions and lineups. That's just a guess. There was something more. This was the party match, and I feel like the rest of the season might be more an homage to the team that actually won the title.
The party's over.
The party is over.
All right, so let's no obviously cheating Super League update right now. Let's rant of the week. We just have one. I'm amazed that we don't have more rants because I know how badly some people did on their free hit chips, and I was expecting some real quality rants. But you guys are just going to have to share those with us on Twitter. Roger Kendrick says, "Why do we do it to ourselves? I mean, what's the point of FPL in the grand scheme of things?" Throwing that one to you, Mark.
Yeah, why do we do it? I ask myself that question most weekends. Last weekend in particular, I think it was last weekend where West Brom beat Man U 1-0. So I went into that game with De Gea and Lukaku, and I watched 90 minutes of my life that I'll never get back. And then I did it again with, I think it was Son for the Spurs game. And we got an assist. Mm-hmm. But so much, obviously I'm a big Premier League fan, a big football fan, but so many of the games are just painful to watch if you watch all of them. And what I did this weekend was I just watched Liverpool and I just forgot about the rest, and it seems to have worked. So I've done well. So I think I'm just going to do that from now on, just avoid watching the games.
I think that's actually a pretty good approach. I think I'm actually watching a little too much myself, or just painted tracking it too much, at least. I was actually at, I started, my daughter had her first soccer. It's not really soccer practice when you're 18 months old. She basically runs around a field screaming and not actually kicking the ball, but picking it up and throwing it, despite everyone yelling at her to kick the ball.
Sure, a future long throw-in taker.
Yeah, a rugby player, perhaps. I don't know. But she, softball maybe. But as this was happening, I looked down at the, opened up my phone real quick and saw that Lacazette had scored a second goal. And it was like, It was like getting like a shivved, you know, like it was like almost like physically knocked me back. You know, I could deal with one goal, but two and three bonus points was just a killer. And I was like, no, you must pull yourself together. You cannot think about this right now. You have to.
They
like,
can't just, see me cry. Not at this children's soccer practice.
It's just like you have to be very careful with how much you let it matter. You know,
no,
it's like
for
you,
sure.
you. It's like you have to dig deep and be an adult and like not let this stuff spill over into your regular life. And the fact that I'm even saying this is amazing because the people who don't care about this stuff would think that I am the biggest like that I have like mental problems basically, but because you guys are on this podcast, because people are listening to this podcast understand what I'm talking about. It is, you know, it's just like we get so invested in this, and you know, everybody's got their own thing, you know, I mean, whether it's like collecting, you know, I don't even know, collecting stamps. Do people still do that?
Sure. I'm more of
coins.
A,
you got your coin collection, Brandon.
Oh yeah. I mean,
well, you do. You have the quarters still, right?
Yeah, I could tell you my story about the Drummer Boy Bicentennial U.S. quarter and how.
Tell it now. Why not? We're getting near the end of the season. It's a short story.
Yeah. So my grandmother, my dear sweet grandmother, she used to collect these quarters that had a little Drummer Boy on the back to celebrate the United States Bicentennial. I think it was 1976 they put these quarters out. They pumped millions of these quarters into the economy. So they were not rare. But anytime you'd be out with grandma, she'd get the change back from the waiter and she'd check for Drummer Boy quarters. One day she presents $10 worth of Drummer Boy quarters to me, $10 to my brother. And flash forward 6 months or so, my friends are like, let's go to the video game arcade. And I didn't have any money, but then a light bulb went off. And I went and I grabbed grandma's $10 worth of Drummer Boy quarters. I don't know if you remember this game, in this big console game, or this big arcade game, Killer Instinct. This is a fighting game.
Mm-mm.
Well, it was very difficult, let me tell you. And I must have blown through these $10 of, not that they had any great value in the economy, but they had value to the family. And they all went into this plywood box of a video game. So I've devoted the rest of my life, and I think it's like, you know, at least two decades on, and I've managed to actually resave about $25 worth of Drummer Boy quarters. So there you go. I have now bought again my ticket back into the afterlife to see see dear old grandma.
Grandma can be happy now. Yeah. Mark, do you have anything to say about that? Sorry. That was so random. I love hearing that story though. It's very sentimental. Nice story. Let's take a quick break and we're going to get right into our Game Week 36 preview.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, we're back and it's time to preview Game Week 36, Josh and Mark. We talked about Game Week 33 as the forgotten game week. Game Week 36, I think, is the forgotten game week part two. We have a lot of questions from our listeners about the double. I mean, it's going to be very intoxicating, very exciting in Game Week 37. But before we get there, we've got a stacked lineup. No blanks, no doubles, just a regular old Game Week in 36. Starting off again with an early Liverpool home match. So the Salah captaincy on the early kickoff on Saturday still looms. And the question I think we'll talk about is who we captain and will Salah play?
So for anyone who isn't listening to, who isn't an active person on Twitter or just following this, maybe your only real connection to FPL right now is just listening to the podcast. If so, there is a Twitter feed called the Anfield Express, or at Anfield Express, something like that. And they have been posting the lineups for Liverpool a day in advance. And it has been unfailingly accurate so far, to the point where it's pretty clear they have some kind of contact within the squad. And they, in fact, said today that they were not going to release the lineup for the Champions League semifinal because that match is too important. Which is true. That's they actually did write that. So until the Anfield Express posts the lineup for Saturday, I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't dare drop Salah, nor would I captain him until I find out what's happening in that match.
Yeah, how are you feeling on Salah right now, Mark? You still have him?
I've kept him right through. Again, it's going to be all eyes on Anfield Express again, which has been great. But surely Liverpool are going to be taking steps to try and get those guys to stop doing what they're doing, because, I mean, it's obviously helpful to the opposition to know who's going to play.
Yeah. But
hopefully they don't get found out yet, because it's been pretty key in my transfers for the last couple of weeks. Because
likewise,
if I didn't see that news on Friday night, I probably would have kept Firmino. So having that news, I got rid of Firmino and brought in Jesus and Lacazette then. So it's been great. Salah, again, depends what happens with the leaked lineup. If it comes out that he's going to be rested, I may look to move him on. But again, I haven't really given it much thought yet.
Yeah, if he is rested, I think I would almost definitely move him on. And I would move him on for a third Man City player. And, you know, as we talked about earlier in the podcast, you know, we don't know who's going to start any of these Man City games. But, you know, having three players just helps you spread the risk around, because I really think they're just going to run. They're just going to, you know, score, four or five goals in practically every game throughout the rest of the season. I mean, they have – the run-in is the stuff of legend. I mean, it's a shame that they're not actually, like, still competing for the league, because they play West Ham, and then game week 37 they have Huddersfield and Brighton at home. And then game week 38 they have Southampton away. If you're not tripled up on Man City going into game week 37, I think you really are going to be in some trouble. I'm not sure that you necessarily want to captain someone from Man City in 37, because there is that risk that one of them just doesn't get any pitch time at all. But I do think that I would love to have a third Man City player before this West Ham game. And as we saw today, I mean, West Ham just, they can't stop, you know, I mean, it's conceding four goals, and what, three of those were in the last 15 minutes of the match?
I have a false sense of security right now, because on my free hit, I have Sterling, KDB, and Jesus. I look at my non-free hit squad coming in for me in 36, zero Man City players. So, I'm a little uneasy having this conversation, because I do agree. I feel like, Sterling coming off early is interesting. I feel like he's going to be a really crucial FPL asset going forward. And there are goals to come, as you say, Josh.
Mark, what do you think about all this? I mean, what do you think about City and sort of coverage? And, you know, are you planning to have, you know, three City players going into Game Week 37?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I think you need to have three of them the way they're playing. It has to be three attackers, in my opinion. I brought in Sterling and Jesus this week. And I'm probably, for 37, then I'll probably get a third City or a second City midfielder. I don't know who it'll be. More than likely, maybe David Silva. He'll probably be the easiest one to afford. But definitely, I think if you don't have triple City for 37, you need to ask yourself a couple of questions.
Yeah, Brendan, if I were you, I'd start burning a lot of points starting in game week 36, maybe 12. And no, our head to head has nothing to do with that. But if you want to burn 20 to 32 points, that's
just looking out for my well being.
Exactly.
I mean, that might be the best thing for me to do. I'm seriously considering a minus eight going into 36. I don't know how you guys feel about this. So, double game weeks, obviously, it's the reason why we play FPL, huge point hauls. We want to break the century mark. It's like a psychological thing. I want to burn all my points in game week 36 so I have like a clean bill going into 37, so that whatever my tally is in 37, it's unsullied by hit points. So that's kind of how I'm feeling going into 36, is that I'm just going to basically get my accounts in order for 37.
All right, here's a question that I have for you guys. I still have two pretty major chips left. I have a triple captain and a bench boost left to go. I am really debating when to use those two chips. And I have Mark, there's a personal head-to-head league that we have. I mean, Brendan and I have one, but we also have one just for our personal mini league. Uh-huh. And the playoffs start in game week 36 for that league. And so Brendan and I both qualify for the playoffs for that. And I'm wondering if I might be better off using my chip in game week 38 or 36, maybe even the triple captain chip, and then using the bench boost in 37, just because my concern about using the chip in game week 38 is it feels like, in my experience, the players in game week 38 who go off don't tend to be the players you expect. It's always like Theo Walcott going for like a hat trick or something.
Yeah, Giroux. Somehow it's always Arsenal players. It's always Arsenal Lukaku players. At West Brom, we remember that one.
So, I mean, what do you think about, if you had bench boost or, I guess starting with game week 37, if you had a bench boost or and a triple captain available, which one would you prefer to use?
I think probably what I would do is I would probably bench boost in the double game week, I think, and then use your triple mm-hmm. in a single. But it's just a question back at you. If you were going to use your triple captain in 36, who would it be?
Well, I would use it on Kane, I think, at home to Watford.
Yeah.
I just think that he is, I think he's the, I mean, you could argue one of the City players at West Ham, maybe Raheem Sterling at West Ham. Sterling to me seems like a very scary player to put a triple captainship on. Man United play Arsenal, so I don't see any real, I mean, honestly, I think it would have to be Kane. I mean, possibly Christian Eriksen if you wanted to be a little safer, just given Eriksen's form. If Salah starts, then maybe Salah too.
Yeah. It's actually four managers who are going to play a triple captain in a single game week. 36. There seems to be quite a few options there, actually.
Yeah, I think so. And there's no dropping Salah if he actually starts. God, talk about weekend ruining experiences, though. God, if I captain Salah, triple captain Salah, and he didn't perform on Saturday morning, I think I'd have to go into I don't even know, like a nunnery or something,
They wouldn't even have you at the monastery. They'd just send you to hang out with all the lovely women.
I couldn't remember the word monastery.
You know what I'd love to see this weekend? I'd love to see Anfield Express tweet on Friday that Salah's going to start and then he doesn't start.
Oh, I know. I'm already
I'd love to see the chaos on Twitter.
It would be true chaos. I would, yeah. Thankfully, I usually miss that first fixture to chaos because I'm still sleeping because the team sheets come out at 6:30 a.m. on Saturday for the first match. So usually I try to roll out of bed right around 7:50. Kind of depends on when the baby wakes up. But around 7:15 or so, kind of get up, get the cup of coffee, and then I'm right into the first match.
Guys, let's keep the triple captaincy conversation going, and let's go back to Harry Kane. We have a question from Auntie Granlund who asked, to Kane or not to Kane? If yes, is there a reason not to triple captain him in game week 37? So I think what Auntie's hitting on here is Kane is, he's back, he's healthy, but he has not looked great. He has not looked like the multiple goal scoring wonder that we've seen in seasons past, particularly at the end of the season. I personally feel like he is crucial for 37, regardless of what we've seen the last month or so. I don't know, Mark, you're talking about bringing Kane in place of Lacazette and your hokey cokey. Is he essential in your mind despite the eye test?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, with Kane, I know especially when he comes back from injury, he tends to be a little bit slow to get going, but I think by the time game week 37 comes around, he should be a lot sharper. And I think just the fixtures, West Brom and Newcastle, you don't get any better than that. Two teams who don't really have anything to play for now. Mm-hmm. And with Harry Kane, he's one of the few players that form doesn't really matter with him for me. If Kane blanked five games in a row, I would still give him triple captaincy in 37 just because he's Harry Kane and we know what he can do.
Sure, that's burned a lot of managers this season. I know many times I went with Kane over Salah midway through the season just based on that point. And I would keep doing it because I totally agree, Mark. Like, he is always capable of putting on a show.
Yeah, and I mean, if you triple captain him and he doesn't do anything, it's just unlucky, because It is with Kane especially, it's pretty hard to hit him at the right time. But if you can hit him at the right time, he can he can be a huge difference in your end of season rank.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we answered some questions that we got from Studio Geek and Juan Agiotos. A couple wild card questions here. One is from Richie, who's been actually another Patreon supporter. By the way, Mark, we didn't talk about this at the very top of the podcast, but you are actually leading the Patreon supporters league right now, and if you had won, if you win, you are actually invited on the podcast. The winner is invited on the podcast. So we are prematurely announced. Yeah, we are prematurely giving you that prize. Yeah, well, let's have you on for a season preview next year or something like that.
Well, Mark, I mean, to be fair, Cordoba FC, Fahad Altakar, I know you're listening out there. You only have a 16-point lead or thereabouts, Mark. So yeah, there's no guard of honor happening for you just yet.
Not saying it's done and dusted. I'm just saying it would make things easier for us from a planning perspective. So go ahead and win, Mark, and start everyone in second through fifth.
That's my new season goal. Yeah, just to stay number one in this Patreon league.
We know it's the most important league for you and for everybody else. Nothing else really matters. But by the way, if you want to support the podcast, and I hate to do this right in the middle of the episode, but I'm going to do it anyway, visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. And Brian and I came up with an awesome game that we're going to do exclusive for our Patreon supporters for the World Cup. So we're going to reveal more information about that when we get closer to the World Cup. So anyway, back to the questions. Richie, who's also a Patreon supporter, says, I'm wildcarding this week, guys. Any suggestions on 5 or 6 must-haves for the final 3 weeks of the season? So I'll throw that out to you guys. I mean, who are 5 or 6 must-haves for the final 3 weeks?
Yeah, well, as mentioned, Harry Kane and City attack for sure. I'm torn between Jesus and Sterling, so maybe we say both, but I do err on the side of Raheem Sterling. I think that he's going to continue to score. Just the position he continues to play for City, he's always basically tapping in goals from 3 yards out.
Yeah, right. I think they're the first three names that come to mind with me as well. It's Sterling, Jesus, and Harry Kane. Looking past those three, Spurs have good fixtures, so maybe you could throw in a midfielder there as well. Maybe Christian Eriksen. I've got Son, who I'm probably just going to hold on to now for the rest of the season and hope he gets plenty of game time.
Eriksen might be a
safer choice if you don't already have a Spurs midfielder.
What about Vertonghen? Spurs have been unable to keep a clean sheet, yet their reputation as a more stalwart defense sort of persists. Are either of you looking at buying into the Spurs defense with that double and 37 in mind?
Mark, go ahead. I the answer for me is no.
I'm not really interested in Spurs defense. And Vertonghen in particular as well. He's a player I've never owned. I'm pretty sure I've never owned him in FPL. I just don't like him because he offers very little goal threat.
Yeah. Yes.
I like my defenders, especially if they're a centre back, to get me a couple of goals, and Vertonghen just is pretty unlikely to do that. Obviously now he's going to go and score a couple of goals between now and end of the season after me saying
naturally
that.
But yeah,
obviously the fullbacks are a no-go area really with rotation, and Sanchez again is a player who doesn't really offer anything going goal threat, and Toby Alderweireld, I don't know what's going on with him. It's probably contract things going on in the background, but he could come back in as well.
I agree, and there's just too much fullback rotation to trust them, and obviously Hugo Lloris is just making mistake after I we talked about this in last week's podcast, so we don't need to reiterate it, but he's just been making a ton of mistakes, and he's got like Joe Hart syndrome right now where it's like his confidence is shot, I think, and he needs to he might have to go play in Italy for a year or something to get his confidence back up. Although Michel Vorm didn't do himself any good yesterday with his goalkeeping.
Yeah, well, speaking of defense, Chris Smalling, he continues to be named to that starting 11 for Manchester United, continues to be a crazy goal threat. Are we willing to take the plunge on Chris Smalling? Josh and I are both De Gea owners, and I'd say De Gea is the first choice for me on a wild card for goalkeeper for the rest of the season. United have pretty good fixtures apart from that Arsenal match in game week 36, but I think you would want to favor Manchester United there, given that Arsenal will be between Europa fixtures. But Chris Smalling, anyone? Any takers still? Or do we feel like we missed the haul?
Yeah, it probably feels like chasing points now if you go for Smalling. Right. I do still think that he could lose his place. Obviously, Mourinho seems to be Mourinho's go-to man for a centre-back, but I would still feel pretty uncomfortable bringing him in. I just know if I brought him in, then he would get dropped. So I've got De Gea as well, and I think he's another name to throw in to the must-haves that we listed. I think De Gea is a must-have for the rest of the season as well.
Yep, I think so too. I mean, we haven't really talked about defenders at all. I mean, just looking at the final 3 weeks of the season, I mean, you know, Man United, okay, I mean, they play Arsenal in game week 36, but as Brennan just said, you know, it's probably going to be another one of those under 23 squads where, you know, just yeah. a bunch of some of the younger players are going to get a little bit of a run out in that game, and just doesn't matter that much. And I think Man United could definitely keep a clean sheet in that match. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, similar issue with Man City, because they Pep has so many options now for central defense with Laporte and company and Otamendi. And I mean, is John Stones going to see the pitch again before the end of the season? But I hate to keep coming back to Burnley, but Burnley have an away match at the Emirates in 37, but on either side, it's home Brighton, home Bournemouth in game week 38. And Burnley are really going to finish strong. I believe that. I mean, you know, whether they're chasing Europe or they're just a team that is good to play for pride, I feel like I want a Burnley defender still heading into the rest of the season.
That Brighton game concerns me just a little bit. I know that Brighton is still a little worried about whether they're going to stay up or not, and I wonder if Brighton maybe even comes away with a win in that game. It's just such a big match for Brighton.
It is big, but I mean, is Brighton good? Can Brighton score? I mean, sure, Glenn Murray has been prolific in spurts this season, but I hear what you're saying, Josh. Like Brighton do need a win, but are they good enough to score at Turf Moor? I think for the value that you get for, say, a 4.4 Loughton at Burnley, it's worth the risk that Brighton won't score because they're Brighton.
So just looking ahead then at the final 3 weeks of the season, and this is a question I'll ask you first, Mark. I mean, just, you know, looking at 36, 37, and 38, looking at them as a whole, where is the value? I mean, maybe it's just in cheap defenders, but like, where is the value in the defender realm? Like, is there a place you'd be looking that I don't know. I mean, like, you got to fill out your squad with somebody, you know. So who are you looking at?
Yeah, it's actually something I haven't really looked at either, but it's something I'm going to have to look at soon because I'm going to want one or two defenders, cheap defenders for the double game week. And I brought in Lascelles this week. I was going to hold off and get him next week, but he had a good fixture. I think there's possibility that they'll get a clean sheet tomorrow night against Everton. So with that transfer in particular as well, I was looking for a cheap defender that had a double game week. Obviously a player who played in 35 and had a double game week 37 as well. And Newcastle was the team I went to. And the obvious pick would have been Dummett, 4.2, because he's really cheap and he saves funds. I was looking at Yedlin and Dummett, but the more I looked at it, I just thought, Yedlin offers a little bit going forward, but Dummett has 0 goals, 0 assists, 0 bonus points this season. So I was just happy to pay the little bit extra for Lascelles, who I think has 3 goals. Again, going back to wanting my defenders to give me some kind of goal threat. So I'm hoping Lascelles can do something for me.
You didn't want Newcastle's Jan Vertonghen, basically?
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, apart from that, I'm kind of scraping the barrel here, trying to look for cheap defenders for the double game week. The problem is so many teams now, I'm just going to avoid the teams who are, you know, so it kind of limits. And then again, a lot of the lesser teams have quite a tough double game week as well. So there's probably not going to be very many clean sheets for the cheaper players. Going back to the Burnley defenders, so I'm loaded up on Burnley. I've got triple Burnley. I've got Loughton, Tarkowski and Goodmanson at the minute, and I'm definitely just going to hold on to probably two of those. So I might get rid of one of the defenders, but I just like Burnley defenders because there's always a chance that they keep you a clean sheet. It doesn't matter who they're playing, and they can always come off the bench and do a job for you, you know.
I love Goodmanson for the final 3 weeks of the season, too.
He has been a part of every goal that they've scored the last few weeks since he's come back from injury.
Yeah, he's been a hero because he was doubtful going into the blank and... or the double, sorry, and I was actually considering getting rid of him, and he was flagged, but I kept faith with him, and it looked like he was probably going to play, and I'm glad I did, because he was a hero. I think he got 13 points in the end of the double.
I'll throw out one more. I don't like them in game week 36, but Laurent Koscielny, possibly, for 37 and 38, I like. This is all based on Arsenal losing to Atletico Madrid in the semifinals of the Europa League. And if that happens, I think Wenger will go back to playing his strongest side for the final couple weeks of the season, especially now that we know it's his final season. So I think that, you know, Koscielny just offers a lot of goal threat. His price has gotten pretty low, I think, at this point, just because he's been, you know, in and out of that squad so much. Let me see if I can pull it up here. He is
the thing.
Well, he's still 6 million. Wow, it's more than I was expecting.
I'm probably gonna avoid Arsenal altogether, more than likely, for the next few weeks. But the thing about Koscielny I don't like is that he's in and out of the squad, and that seems to be the injury. It seems to be like something that affects him after he plays, as far as I know. I think he's got some kind of Achilles issue, which affects him. It's an ongoing issue, so that would be enough just to put me off him, because you're just not guaranteed that he's going to play
twice in 1 week. That's interesting. Okay, I actually didn't realize that. So this is why we have you on, Mark. This is
I think there is something to his injury, that it's something that affects him kind of on an ongoing basis.
Hey guys, last defense I'll throw out there is Crystal Palace. Home Leicester, away Stoke, home West Brom to finish out the season. James Tompkins looked fantastic against Watford, and he has been on the end of almost every corner kick for Palace the last few weeks. And with Mamadou Sakho back, I'm feeling pretty good about that Palace defense. And Josh, you have Wayne Hennessy, so
I think that's not a bad shout. And I think I mean, just the way that we're talking about the players that you really want for the rest of the season. I mean, you know, triple up on Man City attackers, Harry Kane, possibly a Man United attacker. These are all very expensive players, and in order to do that, you're going to have to look to some cheap defenders, and there may be more value in these single game week defenders than the doubles, and that might be worth it. So, I think I agree with you there. So I think that we've pretty much answered that. That's game week 35. I mean, as far as captains go, I mean, game week 36. You know, captains, maybe, you know, we talked about Kane. I think he's kind of going away. I mean, Brandon, are you thinking about bringing in Kane? And if you don't bring in Kane, who would you look at captaining for 36?
Yeah, more than likely I will be burning points to bring in Harry Kane in game week 36. I'll be looking to drop Romelu Lukaku from my double game week squad in game week 34. Apart from that, I guess Manchester City just taking a flyer on one of those players. But yeah, Harry Kane runs away with it for me.
Yeah, and obviously we don't want to discount Mo Salah. You know, he's looking to break the all-time mark for goals in a Premier League season. It's just that I don't know that he'll play in this Stoke match. And I honestly, I just can't even conceive of why he would play. You know, assuming that the match is at all close after the first leg, that just seems like a, you know, Mohamed Elneny sized risk that that he's inviting.
Yep.
So,
yep.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we've got a lightning round of double game week questions, because everybody loves a good double game week question, don't they, Brandon?
I'm at that point now where I'm for the end of the season. I want to ask you, Josh, are we there yet?
I know. Yeah, we're just in the back seat of the car right now, just waiting for
more double game week, man.
All right, we'll be back in a second. Same old podcast,
always cheating. Josh, a quick word about Starting 11, our favorite daily fantasy game for the Premier League, soon to be pivoting toward the World Cup. So stay tuned to Always Cheating or go to starting11.io for more information on how to download the app for your Android or iOS phone and how you can play Starting 11 during the World Cup. But we are playing Starting 11 now during the Premier League. Josh, you played head-to-head with some of our listeners this weekend. Who did you play in Starting 11?
I played Gibran Chata, and I just barely nicked him. I think the late Jesus goal, which was kind of a shrug goal in fantasy. It was nice, but it was like it came after the missed penalty. Yeah. But it was very valuable for me in daily fantasy today. So I just nicked him. So I'm feeling good about that, Brandon, going into game week 36.
As well you should. And Starting 11, it is a forgiving daily fantasy game, unlike the regular FPL. You can change your lineup as much as you want, doing all the tinkering that you want the day of or days before, up until the actual whistle blow. So when the team sheets come out, maybe daily the Anfield Express got it wrong. You can switch your lineup when the team sheet comes out. And during
I did a live transfer today. Once the team sheets were announced, Mesut Ozil out, Aaron Ramsey in. So that worked out very well for me.
Interesting stat from Ben Dinnery that Mesut Ozil has now missed 6 matches this season because of, quote, illness. Now, we are just lay people. Mm-hmm. We just have day jobs. But, Josh, have you called out sick 6 times, even in one calendar year?
No, but there are coworkers of mine who have, and like any good coworker, I hate that person because there's anything worse than someone who just calls in sick all the time. Then they're like, well, I didn't want to infect the office.
Sure.
You
know? Yeah.
I had a cold, so I didn't want to infect the office.
Well, no, we would have been fine. Even better in starting 11, if Mesut Ozil decides he's sick during a match and he has to be subbed off, you can make a substitution in your starting 11 team in the midst of the match. You get up to 3 live substitutions every match flight. So, yeah, anytime there are 2 or more Premier League matches happening, be sure to play starting 11. Josh and I are taking challengers from our listeners. Just download the app for your iPhone or Android phone. Hit us up on a direct message on Twitter, Facebook. Email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com, and we'd love to play you in starting 11.
We have a prize pack giveaway that we're doing this coming weekend. So we've got shirts and stickers and what else, Brandon? There's a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Notebooks, magnets for your refrigerator. So if you have notes on your lineup, put them in your notebook or tear out the page and stick it on your fridge with your starting 11 magnet. It's a pretty cool prize pack. So whoever comes in with the highest score for that match flight, we will put that prize back in the mail for you.
Anywhere in the world, we'll send it out. Seriously.
Cool. So visit starting11.io for more information, and we'll see you on Starting 11 today.
Section 2, it's the lightning round. We're looking ahead to game weeks 37, particularly looking at the double game week 37. I know we've been talking about that a lot already in this podcast. Mark, as a listener of the podcast, you know the lightning round, no longer than 30 seconds for each question. Let's start with Harbuzi1. He says, what 3 strikers do you want for game week 37 with Vardy, Jesus, Kane, Lukaku, Lacazette, and Aubameyang all doubling?
Right, the 3 that I would want, I don't know if I'll have all 3, but I'm definitely going to have Harry Kane. I'm going to have Jesus as well. And I think the 3rd one I would want would probably be possibly Lukaku, but I'm unlikely to go there. I think just for the fixtures, they look good for Lukaku.
I'm going Kane, Jesus, and Aubameyang. I know that Aubameyang upset a few managers with the rotation this game week, but I feel like that's something that only had to happen once. If the goal is for Arsenal to get some chemistry going ahead of the Atletico Madrid tie, they've done that. So Lacazette and Welbeck will have played together today against West Ham. And then they'll, of course, play against Atletico Madrid. Then maybe they'll need to step back a little bit. Aubameyang comes in for the Premier League match. I think he plays both games in the double, no problem. And the way he's been looking so far, I don't think we need to underline, and it looks really good. So, yeah, for me, Kane, Jesus, Aubameyang.
Yeah, Kane and Jesus for me, the 3rd one's to be determined. I may go a little bit cheaper and put a little more money into the midfield, in which case Jordan Ayew is a player I'd look at. I think Swansea have some pretty easy fixtures in 37. 36, it's okay. They play home to Chelsea, but that's a Chelsea team that I don't think is really that focused on the Premier League right now. They're pretty, I think they're what, 7 points back of the Champions League spot right now. So it's certainly unlikely they're gonna grab that. Frankie the Gent says, I have a bench boost and triple captainships. Is my best use of triple captain the Salah home fixture in game week 38?
Well, Mark, I'm curious to know what you think, but I think it really depends for Frankie how well he's set up for bench boost in 37. If his bench is kind of shallow and not that great, I'd still look at triple captaining Kane in 37 and maybe doing a bench boost on an off week in 36 or 38.
Yeah, I agree with what you say. It depends on how he's set up for 37. But again, for people who have 2 chips left, and one of them being the triple captain, I think Salah is, I think you do have to look at him in 38, or if he plays even in 36, that might even be a better time to do it.
I'm looking at possible game week 36 triple captain of Kane. But for me, it's a little bit different because I am trying to win a head-to-head league that I'm in right now. And it's kind of hard to talk about head-to-head leagues in here because it's so specific and general, but I do think that might be the strategy I'm pursuing. Adam P. says, should the relative disappointment of double gaming 34 influence our planning for 37, i.e. should we consider more seriously players with just one fixture?
Yeah, right. We saw that with Spurs last season. The single game week players for them did pretty decently in a double game week. Obviously, Spurs have a double this time around, but I wouldn't let game week 34 cloud your judgment too much. A double game week is a double game week. Mark, you made the good point earlier in the pod about if a triple cap on Kane doesn't work out, it's just bad luck. And that goes for a double game week, too. You have a bum double game week. It's just bad luck. These double game weeks have, by and large, proved to be great opportunities to really get a lot of points. So if you have the opportunity to play them, even if you're feeling skittish, I think you still need to play it pretty hard.
Yeah, game week 34 is not going to change my approach to double game week 37. 34 was pretty frustrating, and I think the average was probably pretty low as far as double game weeks go, but 37 could be the polar opposite. It could be an extremely high scoring game week, and all the big guys could go off. So yeah, I wouldn't change it. I would just go, you know, attack those double game weekers as well, but obviously just be very careful about the guys that you're selling who have just one game week, because we see it all the time. The single game weekers outscore some of the double game weekers. So just be wary about who you sell.
Yeah, I always think of Josh King last season, who really came through in the... I think he was a single game week player in both the doubles. I think he came through in both of them.
It's really all relative, too, not to beat this dead horse, but it's very relative. The score for the double game week in 34 was low-ish compared to big double game weeks of the past. But for those who played chips and played them well in the double, they were still markedly better than whatever the average is. You still made up ground. Maybe you didn't get 100 points, but you still moved. You probably still got a green arrow. I mean, I finished on 88 points with the bench boost. I would have hoped to have hit 100 points. It was disappointing not to, but still a green arrow, and it was a good week for me.
I think 88 points was a pretty solid point total for last week, really. I mean,
What I'm saying. That is exactly what I'm saying. So you just have to look at it in context.
All right, we got two Leicester questions here. I'm going to lump them together. Daniel B. says, is it time to dump Leicester despite their fixtures? FPL Classico says, would you do Mahrez to Sterling? I have Vardy, but no Man City. How are we feeling about Leicester?
Yeah, what do you think, Mark?
I got rid of Mahrez for game week 35. So Sterling came in for me in that move. So that is a move I would probably do now. If you've still got Mahrez and you don't have Sterling, I would just make that switch. Leicester, again, on the beach, nothing really to play for. And I just don't like owning players late in the season who don't have much to play for. Mahrez seems to, he hasn't done much recently. Maybe he's already thinking about his new club next season. He's probably... his time with Leicester is done.
Benfica. He's looking forward to playing for Benfica next season.
Benfica? No, it's Shakhtar Donetsk.
With the bullet.
If he keeps playing the way he's playing, it will be one of those teams.
He'll be playing for Torino next year.
I think it probably is. I just don't really I don't trust Leicester anymore. I have Harry Maguire as well, but I'd probably keep him for the double game week just because he's a big goal threat and hopefully he can get something there.
Yeah, same with me and Ben Chilwell. There's just no dropping. At his price, there's just no reason to drop him before the double game week.
Well, three managers on this podcast and three different Leicester defenders because I'm on Wes Morgan. How does that happen?
Yeah, really. Joseph Allegretti says, would you do Alonso to Yedlin to allow Willian to Sterling for a hit?
I do think Sterling is a priority. Willian hasn't done great since the great wild card move from game week 33. I think Sterling is much more important than him. Alonso's missing still one more week, and as Mark's been saying, Newcastle's defense is worth buying into. So I like that. Yeah.
Does Alonso have any differential value going into game week 37? I mean, just given that everyone will be dropping him, he doesn't play in 36. He's so expensive, though. That's really the issue there.
Yeah, as a guy who still has Alonso because I played the free hit here in 35, I've been stuck with him. It's something I've thought about. And were it not for the money, I would keep him. But I frankly need that cash.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It's the money side of it that makes it a lot easier to sell him because it just frees up so much cash. Back to the question, what was it? I think it was Yedlin and Sterling to come in. So I would be pretty comfortable. I'm a manager who avoids hits as much as I can. But if you're taking a hit for two players like Yedlin and Sterling who have a double game week, I would be comfortable doing it because you would hope that they would pay you back between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, that seems like an easy. I think I agree with you there. It's amazing on Twitter. I mean, there are so many people who love. I don't know if they love taking hits, but they are convinced that it's the right way to go. But it's just a high risk game. It's one that I'm not really willing to play very often.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I've
like every week, you know, like 4 or 8 every week.
My success has come in without, you know, I've always avoid points hits, but that doesn't mean it's the right way to play the game. I mean, I've seen a lot of people who take a lot of hits and they consistently finish highly in the rankings as well. So it's just all about how you want to play the game, really. I'm just I just avoid them as much as I can. It's just because
you're probably someone who, you probably don't hit on 16 either, right?
I don't think I've ever hit on 16. I think I've done a minus 12 once.
Wow, such discipline.
Yeah, it feels even doing a minus 8 in game week 35, so it was my first minus 8 of the season. It felt very, very strange for me to do that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done more than a minus 8 either. I actually meant hit on 16 in blackjack, you know, which is the that's the classic. Do you hit on 16 or do you stay? You know,
it tells
it's like a 50-50 decision.
That tells you how much I know about blackjack when I didn't pick up that reference.
Hit 16 would have made more sense in the context. I like to throw in gambling references every 8 seconds or so because I'm an addict. So just that's good for me to share that with you now.
Just ignore him, Mark.
All right. Final question from Peter Zolt. He says, who are the best two goalkeeping options for game week 37 if you're planning on bench boosting?
Well, we already mentioned David De Gea, right? That sort of goes without saying. He's been a lock for the rest of the season. And then who else? Who else would you throw in there, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, with a bench boost, you're probably not going to go for two expensive goalkeepers. So you're going to have – I would be going for David De Gea and then – maybe a cheaper option to back him up. So just looking at the fixtures, two options, Fabianski, Swansea have Bournemouth and Southampton. And then on the other hand...
Everybody remembers my failed wild card in which I decided to bench boost in 34, but still held on to Fabianski because I was so in love with him for a bench boost in 37. and he'll never see my team, sadly. But so I totally agree with that call. Who else
are you? Yeah, the other one was Southampton. They've got Everton and Swansea in the double game week as well. So maybe... I'm pretty sure McCarthy's still playing in goal for them. He could be another one as well, but I'd probably opt for Fabianski rather than McCarthy.
Yeah, Fabianski is the one who stands up for me too. Maybe Martin Dubravka, the Newcastle keeper.
Yeah, good shout.
But yeah, that's just if you want to be a little bit different. But I think Fabianski is the clear answer there, along with De Gea. I mean, I guess you could make an argument for Man City, for Ederson as well, but... I think there's at least a chance that he sets out a match, whether it's in 37 or 36 or 38. So, whereas De Gea, I think is pretty. Although De Gea didn't start two games last year near the end of the. You know, I don't know. I mean, I guess once you start playing the could be rotated game, you're basically talking about every player in the league. So
don't even mention De Gea getting rested because we don't want that to happen.
Exactly, that would be it'd be painful. Although Wayne Hennessy has really come through for both of us, so you know, if I end up with a Hennessy match, I think I'll be okay with that.
Yeah,
I've been lucky. I've missed none of his 0 point returns, and I've only picked up clean sheets.
The funny thing about Hennessy is I've said it myself on podcasts this season that I actually think Hennessy's one of the worst goalkeepers in the league. But then he comes up with 10 points for me this weekend,
right.
which was I kind of have to I probably should apologize to him for saying that. But
yeah, to me, that this is like the way I've been ranking in Arsene Wenger for like 3 years in the podcast. And now that he's retired, I'm not going to apologize. I'm just not going to say anything bad this week.
Yeah.
So that's that. Yeah, let's treat Hennessy.
The reason I got Hennessy was when I was playing my wild card before the double gaming 34. I had a choice to make whether to get, like, a lot of people were going for Matt Ryan, who had the double game week, but then he had the blank. I went for Hennessy because he played in 35. So I was getting two games out of him in 34 and 35. I would have got two games out of Ryan as well in the double and the blank, but I just preferred to have a player who was going to play for me in 35 because I wanted to get 11 players out. And miraculously, I did get 11 because I didn't have any subs this week. Tarkowski was doubtful as well. So if Lascelles plays tomorrow, which he should, I've managed to get 11 players, which was probably a slice of luck.
That's not bad.
I think that sounds like it's also great management, Mark. I mean, the what you're saying about Hennessy is that's the kind of forward thinking that I think a lot of managers struggle with, and it's a brilliant move.
Yeah, it's paid off.
I had Hennessy as well, which worked out really well for me. And both game week 35 and 31, another game week with a lot of blanks. All right, well, that's the podcast. Obviously, we still have one day to go tomorrow. So if you still have Everton players, as I unfortunately do, or fortunately, depending on how they perform, the good luck to you. And good luck to everybody.
Go Seamus Coleman.
We'll have more questions. We'll have more Game Week 37 thoughts next week. But this is basically a Game Week 37 podcast anyway. So, Mark, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Really appreciated it. It was probably nice for people to have some actual insight on our podcast for once. So that was that was much appreciated.
Yeah, I found it boring, to be honest. But
you were bored by the information.
too much.
As someone who listens to the pod every week, it was a pleasure to join you guys and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. The pleasure was ours.
Yeah, likewise. Mark, where can people find you? So you've got a great Twitter feed and you're on podcast every week. So where should people go to find more of FPL General?
Best place is Twitter, at FPL General. You'll get me on Instagram as well, at FPL General as well. I post my team most weeks on Instagram as well. The podcast is called The 59th Minute. You can get it on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, all those. There's a Twitter account for that as well, which is at 59th Minute Pod. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So, yeah, Twitter's the best place to find me and interact with me.
Excellent. We have a few more questions for FPL General that we're going to tackle on an exclusive episode on our Patreon page. So if you want to hear more from Mark, you have to be a supporter of Always Cheating. To do so, Josh, what can people do?
Yeah, and they also get to play in our exclusive World Cup game that you and I went and had drinks on Thursday, and we mapped out a freaking 5 weeks of World Cup stuff for our Patreon supporters. It was really
We stared at each other silently for a good 45 minutes until suddenly we had a eureka moment, and I think we have a pretty good World Cup idea.
It was an effective stare down. So people can support the podcast at patreon.com/alwayscheating. We very much appreciate anybody who does that. You can also just subscribe, rate. You can just subscribe to the podcast. And if you like, you can also rate and review the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Or really anywhere where you get your podcasts. You can follow us on SoundCloud or soundcloud.com/alwayscheating. Twitter, we're twitter.com/hailcheaters. That's at hailcheaters. And then facebook.com/alwayscheating. That's a lot of dot coms that I just said. So just Google always cheating. I think we come up. It's us and a bunch of dating sites that come up. So it's usually pretty easy to find us.
Dating in scare quotes there, Josh.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, thanks again. Once again, Mark, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
No worries, guys. Thank you.
All right, General forever.
Poku forever as well. Mbakani for always.
Mbakani for always. We salute you.